Singing along with Gaga, Zod wiggling as they took the road toward home, Darby decided she'd had a pretty perfect day and looked forward to capping it off with a pretty perfect evening. Then she hit the brakes, had one moment of sheer shock as Zod yipped in protest. She leaped out of the truck, already grabbing her phone out of her pocket as she ran around Zane's car toward where a man with a bloody face swung a fist toward Zane's. Zane snarled out, "No cops!" and the finger snap of distraction had that fist landing. She all but felt it in her own body. Her fingers tightened on the phone as the dog began to howl over the nasty sound of knuckles striking flesh and bone. She made herself breathe, in and out, resisted punching 911 only because she could see, for now at least, Zane had the advantage. He had good form, she told herself, and Jesus, he could take a punch. But if he didn't end it soon, she would. Winded, one eye already swelling, Jed circled, fainted.
"When I finish you, I'm gonna give your bitch a taste."
Zane heard his little sister screaming, saw his father dragging her by the hair. With that image in his head, he moved in with a cold fury. If he took more blows, he ignored them, just focused on that image, driving Jed back, driving him back. Now Jed's swings went wild, went loopy as he staggered. And still he stumbled forward, flailing out until his knees buckled. When he went down, part of Zane wanted to leap on him, to pummel and pummel until he emptied himself out. But he wasn't his father. He'd never be his father. So he put a foot on Jed's chest to keep the man from getting up again.
"Stay down. Stay down, for Christ's sake, and use what brains you've got. I'm better at this than you, and I'm betting you know damn well I'm better at it than Clint was. I wouldn't have needed a rock to stop him."
He crouched down, looked into those blackened, swollen eyes.
"And if I was the type to use one, you'd be as dead as your brother. You know it wasn't me." "Then who?" "I don't know, but I'm not going to stop till I do. Whoever it was killed on my land, and I see that as a threat to the woman I love, the woman I want to spend my life with, build a family with. I won't stop until I know."
Straightening, he looked down at Jed with a mixture of revulsion and pity.
"I didn't do this. I didn't cause this. You come at me again, it'll go worse for you than me. You so much as look at my woman, at any of my family, it'll go worse for you. You do anything to trouble Tracy or her family, it'll go worse for you. You hearing me? My brother's dead, that's a fact. You getting your ass kicked and having it end up behind bars, and I'll make sure both happen, won't change that. Now get up, get off my land, don't come back here."
Saying nothing, Darby got back in her truck, pulled it to the side, and got out again to wait until Jed managed to get to his feet. He didn't so much as glance toward her as he drove past. Zane swiped the back of his hand over the blood on his face, tried a smile.
"So, how was your day?"
Chapter 29. Once inside, Darby ordered Zane to sit at the kitchen counter, got him an ice pack and a beer.
"Best girl ever,"
Zane decided, winced a little at the first sip of beer. "I'll get what we need to clean you up. God, Walker, you're a mess."
"Hey, did you see the other guy?"
"I did. We'll talk. Sit." She got a beer for herself and went to get the supplies. Zane glanced down at the dog currently looking up at him with eyes all but dripping love and concern.
"Not that bad, right?"
But when he shifted the ice pack to his left eye, he hissed.
"You forgot how much it hurts. Shit. Shit, I've got court in the morning." "Oh, it's nothing, Your Honor. Just got in a fist fight with the brother of the guy killed on my property. No big deal."
He thought, "Fuck," and took another sip of beer.
"I have court in the morning," he told Darby when she came back in.
She set down the first aid supplies, walked to the sink to run cold water over a cloth. Truth or lie? She wondered.
"I'm a lawyer. I can do both at the same time. It's not that bad, right?"
"You're going to have a black eye, left side. He didn't land any on the right. I can butterfly the cut over the bad eye. Your jaw's bruised and scraped up, same side. You need to work on the left guard. Cheekbone, left, that's cut up some. I can butterfly that too, but you might need some x-rays.
Nothing's broken. I know what it feels like.
Because she did too, she nodded. Any blurred vision? Nausea?
No.
Face impassive, she turned back. Strip off the shirt. Let's see the rest of you. He started to. Hissed again.
Okay. He got some past me.
More than some. You didn't mean it at first. He let her help peel him out of the shirt.
His brother's dead.
And you holding back doesn't change that. He did a little number on your ribs. Zane took her hand before she could test for breaks.
You pissed at me?
No. Why would I be? He skimmed a finger down her cheek.
You look pissed.
I am pissed, but not at you. I'm pissed you had to come home to that, that I did, that you had to fight off some idiot I've never even met. Hold the ice on the ribs while I feed the dog. She poured food for Zod to pounce on, opened the kitchen doors so he could go out as he pleased. You didn't want me to call Lee because you didn't want him, what was his name, Jed? You didn't want him to pay for it. You didn't end it sooner, and you could have, because you wanted to let him get a few in. You didn't stop holding back until he made that stupid crack about me.
You're not wrong.
She turned to him, her face a study of fury and sorrow. It wasn't our fault, Zane.
Darling, I know that. I don't even think he much liked Clint, but blood's blood. He didn't come here with a gun. I figure he wanted to beat a confession out of me, and instead I have to figure he left knowing I didn't kill his brother.
If it comes to anything like that again, don't you hold back.
Probably won't.
Gently, he wiggled his jaw.
Especially if I have court in the morning.
It annoyed the hell out of her that she admired how he handled it. She wrung out the wet cloth in a bowl. Let me deal with that face of yours. She had a good touch, he thought, gentle but not hesitant. And she didn't get all pale and weird when she squeezed blood out of the cloth. He watched her eyes as she cleaned him up, those deep, dark blue eyes. She smelled of the earth and growing things.
I guess I forgot to use my filter, he began, when I said that stuff about the rest of my life and building a family and all.
Gonna sting, she warned when she picked up the antiseptic. He let out a stream of curses as she applied it to various cuts and scrapes.
Why is the cure nearly as painful as the cause?
Maybe to remind us to stay out of fights. Is that a legal term? Carefully, she fixed the butterfly bandage to close the cut over his left eye. The filter?
I planned, as far as I planned, to give you more time before bringing up lifetime commitments, marriage, kids. Blame it on the heat of the moment.
Okay. When she picked up another bandage, he took her hand again.
Do you want kids down the road, Darby? Marriage? Building a life with me?
She just rested her brow against his. Marriage still catches in my throat, but I want kids, and I feel like we're starting to build a life.
Marriage is just a contract.
She eased back, met his eyes. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
I can put the filter back on till you're ready. We're good, right? Even with all this?
We're more than good from where I'm sitting.
She bent forward, touched her lips to the cuts and bruises on his face.
I wondered if you'd get around to that.
I had to work through being mad first. Not at you. I mean that. Did you box in college?
Some. The elbow thing's a problem.
She went to dump the bloody water. I might be able to show you some moves to help you compensate for that.
Aren't you handy?
In all things. Zane, you have to tell Lee. I'm not saying to press charges or have him confront this guy, but he needs to know.
I know it.
And was already working out just how to approach it.
I don't have to like it, but I know it.
Anybody who sees your face is going to know you were in a fight anyway. She got him 3 ibuprofen, a glass of water. So tell him, get it over with. Then we'll have some pulled pork barbecue and another beer.
You know you don't give me a choice but to be crazy in love with you.
I'm a hell of a catch. You call him, talk it through. I'll get dinner warmed back up. Calling Lee, and he should have known, meant Lee insisted on coming over to see Zane for himself. which meant Emily and the kids came, too. Then, because Emily insisted on telling Britt, that brought the rest of them. At least Silas and Britt picked up a bunch more pork and sides. So a violent confrontation morphed into an impromptu family gathering. Darby watched Audra kiss Zane's hurts, much as she had, and cuddle against him to comfort. She supposed she'd missed out on big impromptu family gatherings, being the only child of a single parent. She decided being a part of them now landed on the plus side of living with Zane. Even when Britt used the excuse of a gardening question to lure her away from the others and around to the front of the house.
I just want to ask how you're feeling, if you're all right.
Zane's the one who got punched.
I know your history, and I know you've been through 3 violent experiences in the last few months. If you need to talk, as friends, just friends, I'm here.
Then I'll be honest with you. Part of me hit panic, hit shaky when I drove up on Zane and the latest Draper problem. I had to push that back because it doesn't help. But the rest of me? The rest of me was impressed because Zane, despite how he looks right now, had it under control. She looked down at the lake, going soft in the quieting light. I know how to take care of myself, and that's important to me. Now I know Zane can take care of himself and me if he needs to.
Yes, Britt agreed. We grew up in a terrible place, but I always knew he'd look out for me. So I know exactly what you mean. But if the shaky comes back, you call me.
I'm really hoping this is the end of this cycle of crazy. She tapped the tattoo on the back of her neck. It's really time for the calm and easy to balance it out. While Darby talked to Britt around front, Zane signaled Brody, slipped off with him and the dog for cover into the woods.
Real quick, I want your go-ahead to share what you told me with Darby.
Oh, hey, I don't—
Hear me out. Say you're right and we've got a bad guy. She lives here too. And more, I really want her take on it. If I tell her in confidence, she'll keep that confidence.
She has to swear.
Absolutely.
Okay, but nobody else.
Nobody else. I've got a line on his full name, without telling anybody else.
You do?
The kid's instant admiration gave Zane a lift.
Yeah, and I'm going to check it out after everybody goes home. I can't promise anything, Brody, but I've got a place to start. Now think about this. If I find anything illegal or really off, we need to tell your dad.
At that, Brody gave a decisive nod.
If you find proof, we talk to Dad.
Good enough.
They shared a fist bump.
Can you show me where Clint Draper got killed?
No.
Aw, man.
Brody kicked the dirt.
How about you show me how you knocked his brother on his butt and made him stay down?
Zane faked a punch, then caught Brody in a headlock.
We're going back.
He nearly put off filling in Darby as his family didn't leave until after 9. But since he wanted to start his search, he thought it best to get that take of hers. He ran a hand down her short cap of hair as they sat another moment in the glow of the garden lights.
I have a client who's given me permission to share some information with you on the condition of treating said information as privileged and confidential.
Why would one of your clients? She trailed off as he gave her that just go with me look. Fine. I can keep my mouth shut.
The client requires you swear to same.
Your client, whoever it may be, has my solemn word to keep my mouth shut on this matter. What's up?
I'll tell you, but let's walk around some. I'm going to stiffen up if I sit too long.
You're going to stiffen up overnight, but good idea. The moon, little more than a thumbnail, curved its thin crescent in clear, star-drenched skies. The dog trotted along with them, pausing occasionally to leap at the wink of fireflies. The night-blooming jasmine Darby had spotlighted drenched the air with scent. And with all that calm, that lazy summer easy, Zane brought the strange. She interrupted a few times for clarification, to question. When he'd finished, they'd circled to the front of the house and took seats on the veranda, watched that sliver of moon swim on the lake.
I'd say that's a boy with good instincts, Darby concluded, because there's a lot there that doesn't add up.
A single book? No way, given what he claims to do for a living, what he says he's come here to do.
But maybe Brody just missed the e-reader.
Possible,
Zane agreed. Or he could read on his laptop, but it's hard to believe a college English professor has one lonely paperback for an extended stay.
Agreed.
It's also possible he's just a jerk about recycling and got a good deal on a rental Prius. You can always work things around to another angle, right?
You not only can,
Zane said,
but some of us make our living doing just that.
Still, you're an English professor, so you've spent a good chunk of your life studying and teaching literature. You couldn't possibly blank on John Steinbeck. Popular fiction? Maybe he's a book snob, but why not just ask, who's Virgil Flowers? And when you put it all together, Darby concluded, it feels off. What's your next move?
It turns out Gretchen ran into him on the street. In my clever, lawyerly way, I got a name. Or names. She thinks Blake, Drake, or Deke Bingley. So since I don't know where up north or what university or college he claims to be a part of, I start with that.
That'll take the rest of your life. Hold on. She got out her phone, held up a finger before he could object. Hey, Emily, sorry. I forgot with Zane going 10 rounds, I was going to send a couple of the crew to do a little maintenance on the bungalows. I thought we'd start with 5, then spread out from there. Is anyone in 5?
Darby made uh-huh noises.
We'll make sure we start mid-morning then, unless he's checking out soon. No? Oh, really? Another Yankee? Where's he from?
She sent Zane a smug smile.
New York City. Well, we'll make sure we don't disturb him. Yeah, I'll make sure he ices down again before we go to bed.
I can do that, sure.
See you tomorrow, then.
She clicked off.
She called him Mr. Bingley, and it would have seemed weird if I'd asked for a first name. But she said he was working on a novel and came from New York City.
That's helpful. You're good at that.
I'm going to have to send crew over there. And I'm going to have to go by reception and show her again what are actual weeds in the rock garden, but it's part of the service.
She got to her feet, held out a hand.
Come on, let's get you another round of ice and you can get started. And I can get to my really delayed shower before I take care of some paperwork.
He needed a shower too, but unfortunately, not a fun one. By the time he'd finished and Darby used another spare bedroom to deal with her paperwork, he was more than ready for the ice, more ibuprofen, and the option to work in bed on his laptop. She glanced in an hour later. No doubt, he thought, checking on him.
How's it going?
Slow.
He raked a hand through his hair.
There are well over 100 colleges and universities in New York.
You had to figure.
Even eliminating specialties, dance, medicine, fashion, law, like that, there's a lot. And also, considering he may have inflated the professor, it's best to check all the staff. So far, I haven't come up with Blake, Drake, or Deke Bingley listed. But I've got plenty more to check.
Because he could feel himself stiffening, he got up. And boy, he felt that. Tried to walk and stretch it out.
It'd go a hell of a lot faster if I had an investigator on this. Even a law clerk.
I don't qualify for either of those, but I can take some. I'm caught up. And I'm invested. I kind of want to prove the kid right. Which is weird.
It is weird. Weirder because so do I. But you'll be getting up in 6.5 hours.
I'm getting up then anyway. 30 minutes. Same for you, Walker.
She smoothed a hand over the hair he'd disordered. You're more worn out than you think.
I think I'm pretty worn out,
he admitted. 30 minutes.
At the end of 30, it was Darby who called it because he really did look beat. And Zane, who volunteered to let the dog out one last time because he needed to move. When he got back and Zod took his latest sock to bed, she was already out for the count. Zane got in beside her, breathed out against the aches and twinges, then took her hand, pressed it to his cheek.
Don't make me wait too long to take that filter off, darling.
While Zane fell into a fitful sleep, the man who went by Bingley sipped his single malt, paced the cabin. He didn't like the way that brat had looked at him. It had nagged at him all day, enough that he'd driven past where he knew the little fucker lived, hoping to catch him outside. Lure him over to the car. Take care of him. But he hadn't seen him, which he admitted now had been for the best. Another body in the lake? Wouldn't be good. Even adding on a missing kid? too much attention. He'd already stayed longer than he should have. He saw that now. He'd let the pleasure of building up to that ultimate goal keep him in this hick town. Not even in the hick town, for God's sake. He was living in the freaking woods. Done with it, he thought. Checkout time. Once he'd done what he'd come to do, he'd get in that ridiculous tree-hugger car and be hundreds of miles away before anybody knew the difference. Dump the car in long-term parking at the airport, where he'd parked his real car. Wait until dark, slip on home, cut the hair, shave the beard. Over and done. But now he had work to do. He wanted to wipe down every inch of the bungalow just in case. After that, he'd wear gloves. Darby woke at 6 sharp, slid out of bed to, as per habit, dress in the bathroom so Zane could sleep.
Don't worry about it,
he mumbled.
I'm awake.
Hurting?
It's always worse the next day.
He felt her hand brush over his hair as he eased up, ouch, to turn on the light.
Ice and Advil. I'll get it.
It's all right. I need to move anyway.
Go slow. I'll get you started with it.
She trotted out. He no longer felt surprise at her ease of walking around the house naked, and he lowered his feet to the floor.
Head worse. Lots worse.
Stood. Breathed out.
But I was younger.
He sat again. As he did, he considered asking for a continuance, weighed the pros and cons of going into court with a black eye. A distraction. Maybe some sympathy from the judge. Maybe. Maybe not.
Don't be a wuss. You can handle the drive into Asheville, an hour in court,
he told himself. Before he stood again, Darby came back with the ice and Advil, studied him. Looks worse the second day, too.
Thanks for that.
You're going to see for yourself soon, anyway. She laid the ice bag on the left side of his face, then offered the pills and water.
I got a really hot nurse out of it.
The hottest. Look, I can call Roy, have him get the crew started, give you some more TLC.
Just need to get moving.
Did you sleep?
Off and on.
During one of the offs, I did another chunk from the New York list, so at least something productive. Still no Bingley.
Brody's going to be right. I feel it in my bones.
Maybe. Meanwhile, during my on and off, I had another thought. He drives a car, so he's got to have a driver's license. I've got a pal or two on the force in Raleigh. Since I can't ask Lee, I can ask one of them to run him.
Is that legal?
Eh.
He wiggled a hand in the air.
First, I'll just pay the fee, look him up, all three names, on a criminal search, which is absolutely legal.
I'm going to get dressed, help you downstairs, make us some coffee. What does he look like? She asked as she pulled out cargo shorts.
From Brody's description, sort of blondish hair, long, a little beard, glasses. Around my age, he thinks. Not as tall, thinner.
She paused as she pulled on a sports bra. You know, I saw somebody who looked sort of like that out on the lake on a sunfish the other day. And for some reason, he gave me the creeps.
Zane's eyes narrowed.
Did he do anything?
No. She dragged on a t-shirt. I didn't get a good look anyway. He was just sailing by while we were finishing up at the marshes. He sort of waved, that's all. But I got creeped. Maybe I should take the morning off, help you finish with this.
I've got it, but I could use that coffee. I'm okay here, darling. I don't have to be in court until 9, so I'm just going to pull on some pants and I'll be down.
All right. Let's go, Zod. The dog leaped, willing and able. She paused at the door. This is a nice room, but I'm going to be glad when we're back in hours.
Me too. Couple days more.
She'd said hours, he thought, as he grabbed some sweatpants. Maybe he wouldn't need that filter much longer. By the time he got downstairs where she had coffee and Cheerios with fresh strawberries, he'd worked out the worst of the stiffness.
It looks worse than it feels, he told her.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Stop and pick up some arnica gel somewhere. I didn't think of it before because I'm out. It can help with the bruising. He put it on a mental list, went for the coffee.
Where are you working today?
Considering this Bingley may actually be a bad guy, I'm going to have Roy and Ralph go over there later this morning, do that maintenance.
I'll go by to see Emily at some point, but I've got to start on the north side of the lake. Do you know George Parkinson?
Sure. He owns some rentals over there, lives in Asheville, but keeps a second home here.
That's the one, she said as they ate. Apparently the company he had doing his property maintenance gets a D-, so he's hired us. We're mowing, mulching, weeding, pruning, and so on. He has 4 rentals, so that's a nice new client. She smiled over a bite of cereal. Especially if we charm him into adding in his own place.
Bet you do.
With the shape the rentals are in, and with sending Roy and Ralph off for a while to do subterfuge, it's going to take us 2 solid days. Then I'm hoping Sherilee Fogle, who's a book club pal of Patsy Marsh, bites on the proposal I gave her yesterday. Apparently she recently divorced husband number 2, is now sitting pretty on a fat settlement from same, and wants to, as she put it, reimagine her lakeside cottage, inside and out, top to bottom.
I believe you could give Maureen a run for her money on knowing who's who and what's what in Lakeview.
People tell me things. Such as, Sherilee's second ex-husband is a cosmetic surgeon, and I can attest, as Sherilee and I were up close and personal, he does excellent work. They lived in Greensboro during their 4-year marriage, had the cottage, which is actually a lovely home with a soaring atrium and a summer kitchen overlooking the lake, as a weekend/vacation home. She took up permanent residence almost a year ago during the separation, got the house and a hefty settlement due to the fact the ex had not one but 2 lovers on the side. One lover found out about the other, Darby explained as she ate. They bonded, and together they went to Sherilee. Due to female solidarity, the philandering doctor is now out the lakeside home and all it contains, 2 BMWs, several pieces of art and antiques, a monetary settlement to the tune of $3.3 million, not including a separate percentage of stocks and bonds. Zane listened, fascinated.
Introduce me, because if she gets married and divorced again, I'd like to represent her.
Darby grinned. She says she's done with marrying and intends to stick with casual and adventurous sex, at least until she's 90.
You're not making a bit of that up, are you?
No need. She's 58, looks maybe 40, like I said, excellent work. She never had kids, but dotes on a selection of nieces and nephews, has formed a good circle of friends in Lakeview. And after seeing what I did at the Marsh Place, looked up my website, saw your water feature. Darby polished off her cereal. She wants one of her own, and canna lilies. She remembers her grandmother's fondly. And she wants a lot of other things. She told me I was adorable, which is sweet, but even more that she feels strongly about supporting female-owned businesses. If she bites, and I think she will, High Country Landscaping's going to be rolling right into the fall. She took her bowl, and since he'd finished as well, his to the sink. And one more. She's thinking about starting a small charitable foundation that would be funded with her half of the worth of their private plane, not included in that monetary settlement number. I said she might want a local lawyer to help her work that out. Mentioned you, along with the disclaimer we lived together. So you may get a call. Delighted, impressed, Zane just stared at her.
I'm seriously crazy about you in every possible way.
Who wouldn't be? She came to him, linked her arms around his neck. I have to ask you for something that feels a little strange to me.
Go ahead.
I need you to text me when you get to the courthouse. Then again when you get back to your office. He laid his hands on her hips.
You taking care of me, darling?
Apparently. It's a little out of my usual range of motion, but I need you to text me.
Then I will.
He nudged her into a kiss. Before she drew back, she touched her lips to his black eye, the cut above it, the bruised jaw. I gotta go. Come on, Zod. Breaking free, she grabbed her water bottle, her phone, her cap. Don't forget the arnica. Pick up 2, she added as she strode away with the dog racing ahead of her. I could use some in my kit. He wouldn't forget, he thought. And believed it was time to bring her flowers again. She opened the truck door for the dog, lowered his window part way as he wiggled his butt into the seat. New job site today, Zod, but same rules apply. No digging, no pooping until you're taken to a suitable location. No cat and or other dog chasing, she continued as she started down the road. No crotch or butt sniffing. He sent her his dreamy in love look. This one's pretty much straight cleanup, she told him, but it could lead to more. If we do a good job, we might get the client to go for some perking up next spring. Gotta think ahead, she reminded him, and made the turn at the end of the road, then slowed when she saw the car on the shoulder, the hood up. She pulled up behind it.
Just be a minute, she told Zod, and stepped out.
Having some trouble? She called. She heard, likely muffled by the hood, what sounded like battery dead in a heavy Spanish accent. I can give you a jump, she began as she walked toward the front of the car. Or, she had an instant to see shoes, jeans, the back half of the figure hunched under the hood. The fist swung up so fast, so unexpectedly, she never saw it coming. Chapter 30. Because he had to move fast, he caught her before she hit the ground. He had the zip ties ready, secured her wrists, just in case, once he'd shoved her into the back seat. Tossed a blanket over her, another just in case, though he didn't have far to go. In a little over a minute since she pulled up behind his car, he sat behind the wheel again, pulled out. He nearly laughed himself sick as he drove with the radio blaring. And with it blaring, he didn't hear the dog, abandoned in the truck, begin to howl. He had everything ready at the cabin and forced himself to stifle his humor until he'd parked and taken a cautious look around. Barely sunrise, he thought, pleased. Even the lake was empty. He hauled her out, carried her inside, dumped her on the floor while he made certain the privacy sign was out, the door locked, all the shades pulled.
Just you and me, baby doll. Just you and me.
When she moaned a little, stirred a little, he hit her again.
Not quite ready.
He cut the zip ties, dragged her into the chair he'd placed in the center of the room. A good sturdy one with some weight to it. He zip-tied her wrists to the arms, her feet to the legs.
You won't be trying any of that Bruce Lee shit today, bitch. Oh yeah, I read all about that. Even found an interview online. I like to jerk off while I watch it.
He searched her pockets, put her phone in one of his own, her multi-tool in another, and gave her breasts a couple of hard pinches just for fun. He checked the time.
Right on schedule.
Though he figured he could take a solid 2 hours with her, he promised himself he'd keep it to one. He'd wiped the place top to bottom and had packed his things. Time to get started. He yanked her head back, tried slapping her awake. But her head just lolled. Must have hit her a little too hard the second time, he decided. With a shrug, he got a cold bottle of Gatorade out of the cooler he'd stocked for the road. He sat, laid the Glock in his lap, drank, and watched her. She came to slowly, her face alive with pain. Bad dream, she thought, dazed. Terrible headache.
Wake up, sleepyhead.
Her blood froze, her stomach dropped, then clutched like a fist. When her eyes flashed open, the pain was nothing against the fear.
Miss me, baby doll.
Only one person had ever called her that. She knew him. The beard, the hair, long and a duller color, didn't change his eyes. She knew him. When he rose, holding a gun so casually, fear sweat sprang to her skin, soaked it. She tried to spring to her feet, to defend herself, to fight, found herself pinned.
Scream,
he warned.
And I'll shoot you. Not to death, but it'll hurt. Then I'll gag you.
I'm looking for a little conversation, but we can go with your bleeding on the floor in a monologue. Your choice.
What do you want, Trent?
Didn't I just say?
He slapped her. Not too hard, just enough so she'd know who the hell was in charge.
What did I say?
Repeat after me.
Trent wants a little conversation.
She had to swallow the bile that wanted to rise into her throat.
Trent wants a little conversation. You don't need the gun, Trent. I'm tied to the chair. I can't go anywhere.
Are you telling me what to do?
No. I'm asking if you'd put the gun down while we talk.
Her mind emptied but for terror when he stuck the barrel under her chin,
Denied.
How about I just pull the trigger? How about that?
I can't stop you, but then I wouldn't hear what you came all this way to say to me.
You're shaking, Darb. You scared?
Yes. Yes, I'm scared.
Good. You should be.
But he removed the gun, stepped back.
Scared little baby doll, aren't you? You'll give me whatever I want, won't you?
When he pinched her breast, she couldn't stop the flinch, the shudder, but she made herself say, yes. She'd thought she'd hated him to her capacity to hate. But she found more.
Do you think I want sex from you? I could take it if I wanted, but you're not getting off. Oh, no. No goodies for you, bitch. You want to know what I want? I'll tell you what the fuck I want.
The rage in his voice had her bracing for another blow, but he spun away, spun back, gesturing wildly with the gun.
I want my goddamn life back, the life you stole. I want every minute of the time I spent in prison back. I want my business back instead of having my own fucking family shove me behind closed doors, paying me to keep out of the damn way and not embarrass them. I want my fucking partners dead, my so-called friends dead for cutting me out, taking what was mine. I want to stop pretending I'm sorry for smacking around my own wife when she deserved it. How about that, Darb? Can you give me what I want?
His face, red with fury, shoved close to hers. Submission, she thought. He wanted her submission, her humiliation. Maybe if she gave it to him, she'd live. She let the tears come, let them flow.
I'm so sorry, Trent. I'm so sorry.
Are you, Darby? Are you? Were you sorry when you sat in court, when you testified against me? You didn't look sorry, you lying cunt, when they found me guilty and you and that bitch of a mother of yours hugged like it was your goddamn birthday.
Give him what he wants.
I was afraid. I was afraid and I made a mistake.
A mistake? Is that what you call it? The first week I was in prison because of your mistake, I got jumped. Bastards beat me up just because they could. Mistake?
Oh, the irony, she thought, but kept her head lowered, her eyes down.
You were so strong. I was afraid.
You belonged at the home I gave you, under the roof I put over your head, not out grubbing in the dirt like some damn dog.
The dog, the dog, the dog. Someone would find the dog. Her truck, someone.
Are you listening to me?
He yanked her head back.
I'm ashamed, so ashamed. I don't know how you can ever forgive me. If you could let me try to make it up to you.
Do you think I want you?
With a wild laugh, he gave her hair a vicious yank, then let go.
Do you think I came all the way down here, holed up in this hick backwater because I want you back?
You're going to pay, Darby. Pay for all the things I want and can't have back. He jabbed the gun into her stomach.
How's this for a start? How's your mommy doing, Darb? How's she doing? Mommy's little baby girl. You know how easy that was?
She heard her own ringtone. Incoming text? Distracted, Trent drew the gun away, pulled her phone from his pocket.
From Roy. Are you fucking him too?
Trent dropped her phone on the floor, stomped on it.
Sorry, Roy. Darby can't come to the phone right now.
The shaking came back so her knuckles rapped, rapped, rapped against the arm of the chair.
What are you talking about? About my mother.
What? Oh, right.
He strolled back for his Gatorade, took a good gulp.
You went running home to her, didn't you? Went running home to her while your lawfully wedded husband rotted in prison. Even got a fresh new restraining order against me when I got out and stayed all safe and warm with Mommy.
You...
Nothing, even after all he'd done, had prepared her. Nothing ever could.
You killed my mother.
You killed her. You signed her death warrant when you put me in prison. I just stole a car. You learn some useful things inside. That's what they call it, you know, inside. Stole a car, put my bike in it, poured some beer on the floor, blew some weed inside, just had to wait for her to come jogging along and bam!
He did a kind of dance across the floor.
Man, she flew.
Just keep driving, dump the car, ride the bike to where I stashed mine, boom and boom, and boo-hoo-hoo, mommy's dead.
Grief, rage, shock slammed into her, so she tried to rock up in the chair despite the restraints.
She did nothing to you.
She took you in when you belonged to me. She looked at me over your shoulder in that courtroom. She looked at me when they took me away with satisfaction. She shouldn't have done that.
I'm going to kill you when I'm finished, and sometime, maybe in a year, maybe two, I'm coming back to kill that asshole you're fucking. I'll do a better job of it than that drunk rube who thought shooting at a house mattered a damn.
Not just a batterer, she realized through the screams inside her head. Not just a vicious, violent, selfish man. A murderer. The mask he'd worn, even in court, had fallen away. She saw not only the killer under it, but one who found pleasure in the killing. And she would die here, by his hand.
Though he had plenty of time before court, Zane got dressed, save for the tie, dropped a baseball in his suit coat pocket. Maureen was right about it spoiling the line, but he liked being able to turn it in his hand in there when he listened to his opponent examine a witness. He folded the tie into his other pocket, then pulled out his phone when it rang.
Walker. Hey, Roy.
Hey there, Zane. Is Darby around?
She left nearly an hour ago.
Something crawled up his spine.
Are you at the rentals?
Yeah. Might be she made another stop, but she's not answering her phone. Tried texting and calling, but lots of spots around here service drops out.
Yeah. Look, I'm heading out.
He'd call his contact in Raleigh when he got to Asheville.
I'll swing by Emily's. She might have gone by there first, just got caught up. I'll let you know.
Appreciate that. You know, I think we'll call Best Blooms just in case she decided she needed something from there.
Good idea.
But he heard the anxiety in Roy's voice that echoed the voice in his own head. Darby wouldn't get caught up or make another stop that would make her late for work. Not without letting the crew know. He considered calling Lee as he hurried downstairs. Just go by, he told himself. It's probably nothing. Better to go by. He tried her phone as he left the house. Got voicemail.
Call me,
he snapped, and jumped into his car. When instinct says something's wrong, he thought, listen to it. He started to hit his hands free to contact Lee after all, made the turn, saw Darby's truck. He tried to tell himself she'd just had a breakdown, but he knew, already knew, even before he heard the dog howling. Before he saw the cap, the one she'd put on as she left, on the ground. The dog leaped into his arms when Zane wrenched open the door. Fighting for calm, he called Lee.
Somebody's got Darby. Her truck's on the side of the road 50 feet from our turnoff. The dog was in the truck. Her cap's on the ground. Somebody's got her.
I'm on my way.
He thought of Jed Draper and, following his rage, got back in his car, put the dog on the floor of the passenger seat.
Stay down there.
He peeled out, floored it. What had made him think Draper would take losing a fight without retribution? Because he'd seen it, Zane realized. Because he'd seen it in the man's eyes when he'd gotten up off the ground. But if he'd been wrong... He took a turn too fast, fishtailed, kept going.
I saw somebody who looked sort of like that out on the lake, Darby had said. He gave me the creeps.
No books in the house, playing computer games, no Bingley at any of the 100+ colleges he'd checked so far. Didn't make any sense, no damn sense, but he aimed the car toward Walker Lakeside Bungalows.
She wouldn't have pulled over for Jed Draper. That makes less sense. Stay,
he ordered the dog when he pulled up just out of sight of Bungalow 5. To keep the dog where he was, on the floor of the convertible, Zane tossed Zod his tie, then moved quick and quiet to the edge of the drive. He saw the shades down. Who pulled all the shades with that view? Bedroom, maybe, for sleeping, but the rest of the house? He kept moving, kept to the soft ground, searching for a chink in a shade where he could see inside. As he circled around, he heard a man's voice raised in fury.
You look at me, bitch. You look at me when I talk to you. I'll shoot you in both knees, then in your gut if you don't give me some respect.
Zane took out his phone, texted Lee.
Bungalow 5. He has a gun.
Then turned off his phone. With no intention of waiting for Lee, he circled back to the front of the house. Get him outside. Set off the car alarm. Get him outside. Rush him. Get him outside, away from Darby. And before he reached the front, Zod began to howl.
Good enough,
Zane murmured. He kept moving, felt the weight in his pocket, and curled his hand around the baseball.
What the hell is that?
Trent demanded. He moved to the front window, eased back the shade to peer out. Behind him, Darby flexed, rocked. Zod, having jumped out of the car and now tangled with Zane's tie, lifted his head and began to howl again.
Stupid fucking dog. I got a spare bullet for a fucking ugly dog.
He cracked open the door, then stepped out on the porch, grinned as he took aim. Zane stepped out from beside the pawpaw Darby had planted, winged the ball just like the boy who dreamed of playing short at Camden Yards. It hit Trent's face with a nasty thud, and as he stumbled, the gun spurted out of his hand. From behind, Darby rammed the chair into him, and Zane rushed forward to finish him off. Trent was out cold. She fell back, nearly tipping over, chair and all, as Zane rushed to her.
Triple play, she said through chattering teeth. Zod to Walker to McCray.
Then she began to weep as if her heart and every part of her was broken.
It's all right now. He can't hurt you now.
He slid the gun over with his foot, kept his foot on it as he stroked her face.
I need to get something to cut you loose, okay? I'm going to get you loose, take you away from here.
It's Trent. He killed my mother. He told me. He killed my mother.
He had no words, could only press his lips to her face.
You hold on. Just hold on. Let me get something to cut these off you.
He took my multi-tool. It's in his pocket. Is he dead?
Here now. Here's Zod.
Zane lifted the dog, set him, trailing tie and all, in Darby's lap.
You just hold on another minute.
Not dead. Zane found a pulse, found the multi-tool. Fresh rage beat inside him when he saw how deep those ties had cut into her flesh.
I'm going to get you home, okay? Lee's coming. Then I'm going to take you home. I'm going to take care of you, of everything.
He killed my mother because she loved me, because she was there for me when I needed her. He killed Clint Draper, he told me. Maybe because he enjoyed it. Maybe because he wanted to cause you more trouble. Because I was with you.
He's never going to hurt you again. He's never getting out again. I need to tell Lee what's happened and have him call for an ambulance. We want him to live, Darby. Believe me, we do,
he said when he took out his phone, turned it back on.
For a long time, in a cell. Lee, he's down. I've got Darby. We need an ambulance. Yes, I've got her.
He slid the phone back in his pocket.
He was coming in quiet, but they're only seconds away. You don't have to talk to him now. I'll take you home.
Those gorgeous eyes of hers were huge, a little glazed, but she kept them on his.
You hit him with a baseball. You hit him in the face with a baseball. I want the ball.
Sure, we'll get that in a bit. It's gonna have to go with Lee for now. Look, there he is now, and pretty much the whole Lakeview police force.
Lee ran toward them, gave Trent a long look.
Ambulance is coming. I'll have another sent along.
I don't need one.
Darby cuddled the ecstatic dog.
That's Trent Willoughby, my ex-husband. I stopped because I saw the car, looking like it was broken down at the shoulder of the road. I don't know a damn Prius from a damn Toyota,
she said to Zane.
Darling, a Prius is a Toyota.
See? He knocked me out, and I came to tied to the chair. He came to kill me, but he had a lot to say first. He told me he killed my mother, and how he did it. He told me he killed Clint Draper. I'd rather say all the rest later. I'm a little shaky.
That's fine. How about Zane takes you on to our place? It's close, and Emily's there. I'll be along directly.
She started to get up, swayed. Zane plucked both her and the dog into his arms.
Just a little shaky.
I've got you,
Zane said, then looked at Lee.
I've got her. I see that. You take her to Emily.
He looked down at Trent as Zane carried Darby away.
I've got this.
It took hours. While Emily soothed and fussed, Zane took a walk to settle himself. It didn't work, but he had enough left to pretend it did, for Darby's sake. She gave her long, detailed statement to Lee. Let Dave treat professionally the lacerations on her wrists and ankles, which Emily had bandaged. Because she asked, Dave gave Darby an update on Trent's condition. Concussion, detached retina, broken nose, chipped cheekbone.
Nice play, slugger,
he said to Zane.
But he'll live?
Darby pressed.
He's in serious condition, not critical. Oh, and he lost a couple of teeth, some major contusions on the backs of his legs. She hit him with the chair he'd tied her to. Another nice play. It wouldn't hurt you to see your doctor.
It's not my first punch in the face. I hope it's my last.
Steadier, she rose.
Emily, I can't tell you what it means that you were here when I needed you. Honey, I promise you I always will be. He took my mother from me.
Her eyes welled again.
She'd have been glad to know I found someone to stand in for her.
Breaking, she pressed her face to Emily's shoulder when Emily pulled her in. When Darby steadied, drew back, Emily draped an arm around Brody's shoulders.
I'll never doubt your instincts again about anyone. Ever. I'm real sorry about your mom, Darby. I'm real sorry. Me too. You're my hero, Brody.
Darby leaned over, kissed him lightly on the lips.
I have a lot of those today.
She found more when Zane finally got her home. Her entire crew waited on the porch along with vases of flowers, casseroles, pies, a pound cake.
We just wanted to see you for ourselves,
Roy began.
We know you got a rest, but we just wanted to see you for ourselves first.
He lowered his head when his voice broke.
We got two of the sites cleaned up good.
Ralph cleared his throat.
We figured that's the way you'd want it. We'll take care of the rest tomorrow, because we don't want to see you on the job tomorrow, and that's that.
Who's the boss? She demanded.
Don't care about that. I ever see who put those bruises on your face out in the open, he's going to wish I didn't. That's that, too.
How about I take you inside, get you settled down?
Hallie moved down the steps.
And these men here can take all this inside. There's likely to be more coming,
she continued, as she put an arm around Darby.
Zane, you left the door unlocked,
she added, steering Darby inside.
We didn't feel like we should just go in. More'll be coming, she continued, as word's out about what happened. People want to help out as they can. You matter here in Lakeview, Darby.
Hallie, I need to go upstairs so I can have a good cry.
I'm going to take you right up there. Gabe, give me one of those vases to take up. This one's from Miss Cheryl Lee. It's nice and showy.
He gave Darby a light rub on the back.
How about I give Zod a you-know-what, Darby? Seems he earned it.
Thanks, Gabe. Thanks. All of you.
Hallie held her while she cried, then sat with her until she slept. When she woke, she looked out the tall window at the view of the lake, the boats sailing on it, the kids jumping off the raft. She looked at the showy flowers sent by a woman she'd only just met. Thought of the tableau that had greeted her when Zane brought her home. Rising, she studied her face in the mirror, the bruised cheekbone, the black eye, a fairly mild one, all things considered.
You've never been stupid,
she told her reflection,
except the times you thought you were.
She walked downstairs, found Zane pacing the living room, his phone at his ear.
She's up,
he said with his eyes fixed on her face.
I'll call you back. Everybody's checking in to see how you're doing. I just looked in on you a bit ago. You got some sleep.
Yeah, I feel better for it. Zane.
Please,
he said, then rushed to her, drew her in so, so gently, held on.
I just need this. Just a minute of it.
Take all the time you need.
When I found your truck, life stopped for a minute. Everything stopped. I should have gone to Lee with what Brody told me.
No, no, and no, that would have been a betrayal, and Lee couldn't have done more than you were doing. If you blame yourself for even the tiniest bit of this, it takes it away from where it belongs. Don't do that. She drew back. Don't do that when your brilliant cousin, our incredible dog, and your excellent baseball saved my life. Can we...
Anything.
Careful, or it might be a trip to Aruba. Can we sit out on the veranda and drink some wine?
Absolutely.
When he got the wine, settled in beside her, she laid a hand over his. I want to get this all over and out. How did you know where to find me?
At first I thought Draper's, but it just didn't fit. Then I remembered you'd said you'd seen a guy like Brody talked about, that he'd waved at you from the lake, that he gave you the creeps.
Just that?
That and everything Brody told us. Not being able to find anybody by the name he was using at a college in New York. My gut said go there, so I did.
I'm going to drink to your gut.
I'm so sorry about your mother, Darby. I know it must be like losing her again.
Tears swirled and spilled again. At first, it just emptied me out, just drained me. He bragged about it, gloated. Then it gave me what I needed to try to hurt him. I couldn't have done it without you and Zod, but I was ready to go down fighting. After swiping at tears, she sipped a little wine. Something snapped in him, Zane. I think it was always there, pulled tight, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I do.
He covered it, kept it below the surface. Those undercurrents, right? He lost control with me before, but not like this. This was, well, calculated crazy, I want to say. He planned everything after he saw the articles about me fighting off Graham. He planned it out, like he planned killing my mother. She let out a breath. I don't think it would have worked. I think he'd have been caught. But he didn't. He thought he'd get away with it because he'd gotten away with it before, and he liked it. He killed two people because he liked it.
I'm going to say more.
More? Shock slapped her again. More people?
A long time between your mother and Clint. When they're finished with him, I'm going to say more. At least one or two more.
He was always going to snap, she continued. He was good at hiding it. I was young and not as experienced as I thought I was. He was so charming, said everything I wanted to hear. Oh my God, he was so sweet with my mother.
He knew she mattered most to you.
Yes, he knew. But once he had me, he started to slip. I wasn't stupid. I figured out it wasn't going to work, but I had to try. You don't just get married one day and throw it away the next. It wasn't stupid to try.
Of course not.
Inside, I've told myself I was stupid. Bad judgment, letting myself get carried away by a good-looking man who seemed so right for me. I was stupid for convincing myself I was stupid.
I'm glad you worked that out.
He kissed her hand, then her bandaged wrist. Convinced I was stupid, I told myself you and me, we'd just cruise along for a while, see what happened. I mean, after all, what I wanted was some good sex with a man I liked, a hot man who understands the life-giving properties of baseball, appreciates the appeal of an ugly dog, finds it in him to embrace my creative visions, and so forth.
I am all that.
You are all that, and a box of cream-filled donuts. And I love you. That's not stupid. I want to build a life with you. Also not stupid. I want to make a family with you. Not at all stupid.
Are you going to marry me, Darby?
Yes, I am. He got up, picked her up, sat down with her in his lap.
When?
That's tricky. I want simple, right out here with a party in the back. But I've got Roy getting married next spring. Busy season, and he wants a honeymoon. I can't have both of us off. He kissed her cheek, her eye, her lips. Lingered on the lips.
Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day?
Even you have to take Labor Day off. Especially to marry me.
But you mean this September? Walker, that's practically tomorrow.
Why wait? Especially when you're not stupid. And I happen to know some women who can plan one big-ass party in about 5 minutes.
But I'd have fall maintenance, tree planting, I'd have...
We'd wait. Take a honeymoon in the winter. Slow season. We can go to Aruba.
She had to laugh.
That's pretty damn clever of you.
I'm not stupid either. Life stopped, Darby,
he told her, and traced a finger over the tattoo on the back of her neck.
Let's not waste a minute of it now that it started again.
You saved my life with a baseball. I want that ball. I want to put it in a display box, keep it in the office I'm going to make out of one of the spare rooms,
once I decide which one suits me best. She framed his face.
Look at us. Black eyes and bruises. We're a freaking set.
Labor Day weekend. She touched her lips lightly to his. Deal.
You can seal a deal better than that.
I'm not finished yet, she said, pressing a hand to his chest to hold him off. If we're serious about making a family, about having kids, one of us has to learn to cook. He eyed her.
We can flip for it. Say heads I learn, tails you learn.
Rock, paper, scissors.
2 out of 3.
You're on.
After, when she laid her head on his shoulder, he told himself learning to cook couldn't be that hard.
1 night a week is pizza night, he decided, frozen or delivery.
That goes without saying. She pressed a kiss to his cheek. Together, the dogs snoring at their feet, they sat in the quiet, watched the sun set over the western hills and light its fire over the water.
We hope you've enjoyed this production of Undercurrents, a Macmillan Audio production for St. Martin's Press. This title was produced by Guy Oldfield. Text copyright 2019 by Nora Roberts. Production copyright 2019 by Macmillan Audio. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.